So it's pretty clear that I need a haircut pretty badly. I had to cancel my last appointment because something sort of urgent came up, and then I just kept forgetting to reschedule it. But it's finally reached to the point where it's almost all I can think about at times. I'm in the car, and it's poking into my ears. I'm like, is the gel that I buy strong enough to deal with this mess? I get up in the morning and go look in the mirror, and that's like the first thing that I see all over the place. Like, what is Father Conway annoyed that I'm not taking care of myself? Is he going to sneak into my room in the middle of the night and like buzz part of my hair so that I'll get the rest of it taken care of? What are people thinking? It's something that works its way into my thought a lot more honestly than it should. It's just my hair. But it's actually sort of been an amusing thing to reflect on these readings about, because the whole question really that runs through these readings is, what do we define ourselves by? And we see in this, one of my favorite gospels, the temptation for this woman to be defined as an adulteress. Of course, we know that the scribes and the Pharisees define her that way. But we have that wonderful line from Jesus at the end, setting her free. Has no one condemned you? No one, sir. Then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. So this is that supreme being set free from something that could define us falsely. Our sin. So I really want us to spend time with this idea, who or what defines us? And let's start with that supreme reality of sin, because when we talk about condemnation, we throw that word around a lot culturally. Well, don't judge me. It could also be, don't condemn me. What do we actually mean by that? But if we think of the reality of what hell is, it is being forever defined by our sins rather than by the mercy of God. If you've ever read Dante's Inferno or even remotely familiar with it, the separation of the levels of hell are different categories of sin. That's what these people are defined by. And so the whole goal of our life is to not be defined by sin. So yes, we need to go to reconciliation to hear that same mercy given to this woman be given to us as often as we need it. Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on do not sin anymore. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are redefined in that moment. Or we're defined rightly. By embracing sin as our priority, we've tried to create our own definition of ourselves. But in going to reconciliation, we go, no, this is not who I am. This is not who I'm supposed to be. And so the Lord reminds us that we are His beloved adopted sons and daughters. And He doesn't just remind us of that, He makes it true again. The Word speaks and recreates us. But there's more than that. Do we accept that redefinition? How many of us walk away from confession going, well, I don't really feel forgiven. Was that an intense enough penance that Father gave me? Maybe He didn't understand just how bad of a person I've been. Or we immediately start worrying about, when is the next time temptation's going to come? I know that I'm going to fall. I just don't think I'm strong enough to deal with this. Or we drag ourselves back to confession and go, here I am again. Same thing, month in, month out, week in, week out. Am I ever actually going to be free from this? And so once again, even though perhaps we've received the mercy of God, we limit that power and say, no, I'm still defined by my sin. instead of laying claim to the incredible power that is given to us, that confession, the mercy of God, is not just some sort of, you know, juridical act where God says, okay, well, I'll wipe out the red in your ledger. But it really is a transformation, a redefinition of being strengthened. Do we lay claim to the strength that's offered to us in that sacrament so that we might be defined differently and live by that different definition? But let's go even deeper. Because what if this woman caught in adultery went around and just kept referring to herself as, you know, I used to be an adulteress. I was an adulteress once. When I was committing adultery over and over and over. And we know folks who may be like that. We may be that way ourselves. We become so fixated on who or what we used to be, even though we aren't committing those sins anymore, that in some way we're still defining ourselves by that reality. We buy into a kind of image that, well, I've been saved once, but if I were to fall into it again, my whole image of myself would fall apart. Right? If this woman, if she just defined herself as someone who used to be an adulteress, God forbid, what if she fell again? Everything collapses because the emphasis is on her. The emphasis is on what she's not doing instead of on the one who set her free. And that's such a subtle distinction, but I think it's so important for us. God has made us for more than avoiding the low bar of mortal sin. We are made to be saints. We are made to live in intimacy with God. We are made to be wholly His, mirrors that reflect Him in some unique and unrepeatable way in the course of human history. Sin is horrific not simply because it disrupts or breaks the connection with God, but because it also disfigures that image that we are meant by God's grace to reflect to the world. So that means when we have been forgiven, we have been forgiven and our lives are about Jesus and not even about the sins that we used to commit. We are defined only by Jesus. And this goes beyond the arena of sin. Are we defined by the tragedies that we've experienced in our lives? Maybe we experienced really awful abuse at the hands of an authority figure in our life when we were young. That leaves real scars. And that is not to be minimized. And it deserves all of the care and the attention and the treatment that is necessary. But it's also something that must always be set in a kind of holy tension with the fact that God will not leave us defined by that reality. If we've lost a job, we aren't defined by our work. And so we don't lose value when we aren't working. We aren't even totally defined by our spouses till death do us part. Death ends the bond of marriage. And what that means is even during marriage, there is some reality deeper, more profound, even than the married love, which is a relief because marriage is between two imperfect people. And so the perfect love of God comes into even that. And when that bond ends because of death or for other reasons, we're not defined by the grief or by the absence of the other. Even though that grief is real and deep, God's love is yet deeper and holds us in the midst of our grief, defines us as something more than someone who used to have a spouse, someone who used to have a job, someone who used to whatever. We are invited by Jesus to allow him to be the one to define us. When St. Paul says, I consider everything as a loss, he means everything. Everything that is not God. Because everything that is not God can be taken away from us. We can lose it. So have we allowed the love of God, have we allowed the truth of how he defines us to go so deep that it has gone to those things that we haven't even dreamt of being possible losing? And if we come up against some boundary that we go, no, I cannot stand to lose that, then the hard reality, brothers and sisters, is that is what defines us rather than the love of Jesus. And so that's where the battle begins for us. And you may be going, Father, you don't know the depths of my grief. How dare you try and speak into that? You don't know what I went through. You don't know what I'm going through right now. There is no way that God's love could fix this. There's no way that God's love could replace this person's love. And brothers and sisters, all I can do is point to the beautiful words of the prophet Isaiah, that God almost hears those arguments, those cries of our heart, before we make them. See, I am doing something new. In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers. I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink. Even in places that are as arid as the desert, you will find water. There will be rivers. Those things that seem impossible are not impossible for me. So if that is where we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, up against the false stuff that defines us, being defined by our sin, being defined by our excessive fear of sin, being defined by an illness, being defined by grief, being defined by anything other than being a beloved adopted son or daughter of God, that is the confrontation that Jesus leads us to. That's the desert he wants to meet us in. Not to leave us in its dryness, but to do the impossible and reveal the rivers that he will bring forth there. So as we draw close to our Lord in the Eucharist, let us place ourselves in the place of this woman, in that moment of receiving him, to receive, to reflect that intimacy, to hear him say to us as he said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on do not sin anymore. Only I define you.